Good morning.
Oh,
there we go. Thank you. I've got a couple of things to do this morning before we move on to our service, and unfortunately, they just got more difficult. When we sing the song, The Goodness of God, I get choked up and weepy. Especially when you hear children around you singing it as well. I want to share a little bit this morning, a ministry update. Some of us from the church have been involved in the service at Good Samaritan Village. And so our church was asked if we wanted to participate in providing somebody to do the service on Sunday mornings once a month. And so our church agreed to do that. So right now it's a rotation of Rick Erlinson, who's in this picture, Pastor Sonny, and myself. And so the first Monday of the month, we go over to Good Samaritan Village and we do the service over there. It's probably 15 or 20 people that show up. Many of them just walk right in from the hallway of the rest home there, or some walk across the parking lot, some drive. And I think they really appreciate having a place where they can go and worship. They ask for the opportunity to share prayer requests. So every time that we're there, we share prayer requests and we pray for their requests. They also ask for the opportunity to give. So there's an offering every Sunday morning that they are there as well. And this is what they consider their church. Many of them are very regular. And this gives us an opportunity as Berean Bible Church to have a ministry in our community as well. Right now, there's a church in Grand Island that's doing the other services during the month. They sent out, a couple years ago, I want to say a little more than a year ago, they sent out a notice to every church in Hastings seeing if they wanted to participate in the service of Good Samaritan. And they got a response from one church, and that's our church. And so then, you know, we started doing the once a month. If we have more from this church that would like to participate, and we would be willing to take on another Sunday, maybe do two Sundays in a month. It's a great opportunity, if you're teaching, to study the Word and know it. There's no better way to know something than to know it in a way that you can teach it. And so if you're interested in the opportunity, if maybe you haven't had experience in teaching the Word in front of people, this is a very safe place to do that and to learn and to grow as well. So keep this ministry in mind. We do the first Sunday of every month, so the first Sunday in November, Rick Erlinson will be back there doing the service at Good Samaritan Village. Okay? Let's now go to prayer for our time of corporate prayer this morning as we join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, recognizing that it's a gift that we have the ability to approach the throne. Lord, we thank you for the chance to come together today to worship, to be together, and Lord, to pray together, to bring our requests in a common spirit, the Holy Spirit that you provided us, and make petition to you. Lord, we've got many things on our prayer request list, many needs within the body that have been expressed. Some physical, some emotional, some family situations. Lord, we also know that there are many unexpressed needs as well, and we want to lift those up this morning as well. Lord, we also want to ask for peace in the nation of Israel. And Lord, we know that you've asked us to pray for the nation of Israel, to hold them up, and to ask for peace. Lord, we also want to ask for unity and peace right here within this body of believers. Lord, that we would be of one spirit, one mind, one gospel, one truth, serving one God and Savior. And Lord, just pray that you'd give us unity. Lord, we pray for the elders and deacons as they make decisions, as they lead the church. Lord, that they would have our support, that they would have our prayers. Lord, we also want to lift up our new pastor that's coming. We pray for Tevin and Lexi as they finish up their time in Arizona and the things that they need to accomplish. We pray specifically for the selling of their home. and Lord, that they would be able to join us quickly. Lord, we also want to lift up those in our community and in this part of our country that are involved in the harvest season. And Lord, just the busyness, the time, the effort, safety, caution, clearness of mind, clearness of thought. Lord, we just lift up those that are deep in the throes of harvest and what that means to them, what that means to those of us that enjoy the bounty of the harvest. And Lord, that you give us much to be thankful for. Lord, we thank you for your servant Sonny this morning. Thank you for the study he's done in your word. Thank you for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. I just pray that you would use Sonny this morning. In your son's name, we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Kind of flaking in and out. It might flake in and out. I'm calm right now. All right? Everybody knows we're calm right now. Take a deep breath. And if we could just pray again, maybe more for me than you at the moment. All right? You don't know it, but I have just had a shot of adrenaline as I stepped on this stage, and I am ready to roll here this morning. All right? Because God is good. Can we get an amen that God is good this morning? That what he's given us is awesome and great, and the promises that he has for us are sure. Do you know that? Amen this morning to that. Father, we praise you. We bless you for what you've done for us, for your glory. I pray this morning as I speak, a calming heart, Lord, that I could declare with accuracy your word. And clearly declare what you have given us today to think about. Through the pen of Paul, we just pray for our time this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you to the worship team for reading the passage this morning. We wanted to try something a little different. I like to shake it up a little bit up here this morning. I don't know what gets you guys excited. I mean, what is it? What tips you? What gets you going? Is it athletics? Is it playing music? For the crazy people of the world, they like to run 23.1 miles. I don't know what the deal with that is, all right? Some people love to run. Some people like to do art. What gets you excited? What do you think gets Paul excited? What do you think gets the Apostle Paul excited? That's a question we want to answer today. What causes Paul to give thanks and to pray for the Colossian believers this morning? What causes Paul to kind of get excited? That's what we're going to look at as we dive in. And I think today, as Frank has led us already kind of in the background and the settings of Colossians, he did a great job. I hope you got some of what he was saying. Can I give you a summary real quick? This is the truth. I called a pastor friend of mine this week. I read hours and hours about Gnosticism in the past few months, okay? And I'm just like, oh, I need help, dude. Phone call. Give me the red line. Let me talk to a guy. So I called Jeff, you know? And he's like, hey, how you doing? What is Gnosticism? Help me with this. Let's get this straight this morning, what Gnosticism is talking about, because we need to hold on to this the rest of our trip, okay? It's Jesus, but more. It's this, but more. If we could hold on to that truth, if we could hold on to that, Gnosticism says it's Christ, he may be the stepping stone, but then there's some more to that. Do you get that? It's taking away, it's adding to all those things. Were we clear? Short definition for my little brain is it's more, all right? And I think we can gather to that. So let's open this and see what we have this morning. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And I got to tell you, you know why I think Paul's excited here? Because he's kind of like me sometimes. He is writing, and verses 3 through 8 are one sentence in the Greek. And it says at the very end of the book that he's writing with his own hand. And so I think Paul here is like, and I don't know if you do this, but I can't even read some of the things I write sometimes because I'm writing so fast. But I just have to imagine that Paul is writing so fast as he's thinking about the Colossian church, right? And his brother book, Ephesians, they go hand in hand. They're not identical twins. Paul does verses 3 through 14, one sentence in the Greek. Paul is pumped up. He's ramped up about something. What is it? Well, he's looking at the Colossian church, and he sees three virtues that they possess. What's the first one? Faith. They have faith. Not faith in faith itself, not in, oh, I think this is going to be okay, or I just have faith and I'm going to make it through. We're talking about faith in a person, are we not? We're talking about faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That it's not a blind faith, it's not just hoping in something. We are hoping in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, we have received a hope laid up for us in heaven, have we not? So they possess faith. They possess hope, and they possess love. Love for who? Love for all the saints, it says here very specifically, right? These are the three virtues, I think, and many commentators would agree. Oh, and I have to throw this out to you today. If I say anything intelligent, know that I didn't come up with it. Somebody else did, okay? We know better, all right? But faith, hope, and love should be characteristics that define our Christian walk in life. And the source of our faith, we have something that we cling to. It's Jesus Christ this morning, is it not? And a love for one another. Look around this room this morning, saints. Do we always get it? Do we always get along? But do we love each other anyway? In our family, we have this saying, and it comes from my dad, we're kind of a crummy family. Right? It comes from an old Western movie, all right? But really what it means is we love each other, even though it's kind of crummy sometimes, I think, you know? We still love each other. We're always going to be family. We're kind of crummy family maybe here a little bit this morning, but we love each other. Why? Because we have become partakers of a hope. I think of it this way. Today my son's going to go, he's going to put on the Kennesaw football helmet, right? Blue Devils are going to go. They're hoping to have a victory, but he puts on that uniform. We have team coming together to do what? Win the game. Come out victorious. And you get a group of people from different places and different families and all these things, but you're coming together under one purpose, to win the game. And I think Paul's excited because these Colossian believers have put on the uniform. They've trusted in Christ. They're in the game, so to speak. And they're walking in love with one another. And of this hope, you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. That word gospel 2 weeks ago, I thought, Tevin, you're stepping on my toes, boy. But it's all right. He did a great job of reminding us again of the simple gospel. And I want to just expound on that a little bit more. He told us that the gospel was what? Literally good news, right? And if you were to go back into classical Greek, you would find out it really has to do with two opposing forces coming together in battle, right? And they wage this battle, they fight it out, and one team comes out victorious over the other. And they would send a report back through a person. He would come running into the town or the city or whatever it was and say, give us the good news. And you could probably tell by the look on his face, right, whether they were victorious or whether they were not, right? I'm sure he's beaming joyously as he comes in that we won the battle today. And they would tell him, give us the good news. And he would say, the battle was fierce today, but we prevailed. We conquered our enemies, and the town would rejoice, and the gospel was proclaimed. Are you with me? But see, there was another gospel. There was another battle, and in fact, it cost him his life. It was Jesus Christ upon the cross. The battle was fierce. They beat him, they whipped him, they mocked him, and they pierced him through his wrist, through his feet, and they threw him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he what? He rose again from the grave. And he's gone to heaven, and he's preparing a place for us to be someday. Tell me the gospel, Paul's saying. Tell us the good news. Tell us the good news of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The battle was fierce, but we won. We're winners. We're winners because of what Christ has done. We stand victorious because of what he has done and accomplished on our behalf. Do you know that this morning, church? See, that word of truth, it came to them in the gospel, and it's come to them, and it was bearing fruit and increasing in the world and bearing fruit. And it was bearing fruit and increasing in them since they understood the grace of God. I have to ask you one more question. When you came to believe in Jesus Christ, what did you believe? What did you believe? When you were saved in Jesus Christ, what did you believe? Gnostic teaching says there's something more, but Paul's reminding us again, we believed a very simple message. It was the gospel message that saved us and gave us the victory. I could pound this in the ground for hours, okay? All right, I got through the first section of this in 35 minutes the other day. We're just getting warmed up this morning, all right? Luckily, I've cut it down, hopefully. We have to get this truth. I believe that today and next week are the foundational truths we have to grab onto to move forward. In Paul's letters, it's theology first, it's application later. Today, we want to attain a set of understanding of something. And by now, if you have not got it, I am not doing my job well. We, church, are victorious in Jesus Christ because of what he has done on our behalf. That gets Paul excited. I don't know what gets you excited, but when I hear about like Worldwide Outreach Team and the conference coming up and those kind of things, when those people come and they share with us what's going on in the world, right? What do we hear about? We hear about that message going out into the world, right? It's bearing fruit in the world, and it's bearing fruit among us, and it's going out. I don't know what ignites the fire in your soul, but that ignites a fire in my soul, and I'm going, what am I doing for the Lord right now? And I think that's what Paul's got so excited about. And we learn in verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Here's what we believe happened, and Frank hit on this last week. Epaphras was in Ephesus with Paul, where he became a believer in the gospel. He went home. He carried the uniform with him. He had the helmet on. He was on the team. And when he went in, he was telling people about Jesus Christ in Colossae, Laodicea, and Areopolis, that little tri-city region, right? And here he is, this man, Epaphras, the beginning, the leader of the church there, has now gone to Rome to tell them what's going on in that area, right? And he brings back the report. It's not all bad. We're hearing about the good today. But he's reminding them of something, and I think it's important that he does this. He's reminding them like he did of himself in Corinthians, right? He had to uphold his ministry. Here's these teachers coming in, saying other kind of things, trying to bring in a different gospel, saying there's something more. He's reminding them simply that Epaphras is a fellow servant. He can be trusted. Don't sway from what you have come to know. Stick with it. Because Paul's excited, he prays for them. Paul's ministry isn't done now that he's locked up, is it? I mean, think of all the churches he's praying for. Think of all these people that Paul is continually praying for, writing letters to, doing all those things. Prison couldn't stop Paul from being busy with the gospel message, okay? I hope it wouldn't stop us either. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. We read that. I don't know what you read when you see that, when you're talking about, you know, that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And oftentimes I think in the Christian walk, and please, this is from studying and thinking it through, is that we think this is me on a direct path, and I have to know exactly what God wants for me, and I have to nail the dartboard on the bullseye, right? Are you with me? Have you ever had that kind of thinking, right? And if I step off course, then I'm probably not in God's will, and I got to really understand and know what God wants for my life, and I have to be filled with his knowledge of his will to do that. Are you tracking with me? It's been a teaching in the church for years, and it's really frustrating. I got to be honest, because here I am trying to get out of prison, right? And as I'm sitting there, I'm going, where should I go? Well, I can't make the wrong decision. If I go here, will God be with me? If I go here, is God going to be with me? I have to make the right decision. What about college students? Oh, man, I got six choices, man. I got letters to all these. What am I going to do? Well, how do we encourage our college students? Or our upcoming college students in youth group, I'm going to tell you what we talk about. God has given his will for our life through his word. This isn't some subjective kind of feeling-oriented, I think this is okay, I think this is right. No, we have the objective word of God. And to be filled with spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding truly would be to understand the precepts of Scripture and to apply them to your life. And so when we talk to students about picking a college, pick the one that you want to go to. Pick the one you think is going to be the best and live your life in the parameters that God has given. Live your life as you know he would want you to live, and he will walk with you. Do you see how that's freeing? And you're all looking at me like, well, I have no idea what you're saying to me right now. I'm not alone in this thought, by the way. I'm not alone in this thought. In fact, the red line call and I affirmed that we both think the same way in this way too. So what's he asking? He's asking that this church, this Colossae church, would grow into respect of the victory they have already won, knowing God's word and living it out. Quite simply, that's it. Once we become victorious in Christ, we live a different life. We start growing up in respect to that salvation that's already been given. We'll talk more about that maybe in a minute, right? So as to walk in the manner of the Lord, what pleases the Lord, to walk in the way that he's directed our life to walk, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't want to get off on a soapbox, but I have to say a couple things in passing, and we're going to move beyond. I can't tell you everything about this passage today for time's sake. If our spiritual wisdom and understanding is causing us to hole up and self-protect, I just got to wonder. If that's really coming to some understanding of what God would want for our life. Are you tracking with that? How are we to be a church that bears fruit out into the world if we're just worried about containing the four walls around us? I don't want to get off on a soapbox. All right, I'm not going to do that. Moving on, okay? But I believe increasing and coming to some understanding should cause us, yes, to grow in virtues and things like that, but it should cause us to grow in a love and a care for those out here. Are you growing, church? I think true spiritual wisdom causes us to see the reality that those people who do not know Christ are separated from him for eternity, and to not show them love would be to zip our lips and not tell them the truth of the gospel. How are we doing? Are we growing, church? I mean, we can sit in Bible studies till we're blue in the face, but until it gets moving in our life, have we really learned anything? That's the question I ask myself. That's the question I ask myself. True spiritual wisdom and understanding causes us to move this way. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And I don't know a single person here who can't relate to what he's talking about here. And in the Greek, those words have to do with dealing with hard situations and hard people. Anybody know any hard people to deal with? You're looking at one, right? Right? Hard people and hard situations. And in our life, what are we going to do as we walk this thing out, as we live our life out? We're going to end up in hard situations, and we're going to end up dealing with difficult people. And how are we going to do that in this world with joy? How are we going to do that? It's by being strengthened by him. So what? That we can shine the light wherever we go. I remember one guy who came here for our conference 5-6 years ago, he told a story of him. They were back on furlough. They got in a car wreck. Do you remember this? Their one son died. The other son's crippled for life. And as the paramedics are rushing to the car to yank them out and to help them, he says, "No, wait, go to the other car first." That story has stuck with me. I think about it often. Why did he want them to go to the other car first? Because he knew where his kids were going, but he was unsure of where the other driver was. It takes God's power and might to have that kind of attitude, doesn't it? I mean, I'm thinking my kids right here. How we doing, church? We bicker about the littlest things. We fight over the dumbest stuff. Paul would say, be strengthened with the power of his might so that we can walk through every situation and deal with every person in this life with joy, so that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ wherever we go. And how are we going to do that? Enabled by his power. Grow up in respect to the victory we have been given already. Some versions say with joy there. Some say joyously giving thanks to the Father. I think both are accurate in the scriptures, and many teachers would go one way, many teachers are going to go the other way. We need to go through hard circumstances with joy. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, right? But also, we should joyously give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, right? It was God who did what? He qualified us. Not like a track runner running to win, right? Huh? Or a cross-country runner these days who would try to qualify for state, having to beat a time. But it was God who qualified us, who made us able to be partakers of the kingdom and the saints of light. It was God who did it. It was God who accomplished it. How could we not be joyously ever giving praise to him who has made us able to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ? He made the way through the gospel. How did he qualify us, you could say? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see a repetitive theme in Paul's writing today? I think there's something he wants us to get before he moves on. Do you not? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What did he do? He took us out of the dark, out of sin, out of death, and he placed us in a kingdom of life and forgiveness and freedom and victory. Do you hear it today? Every time we've heard this kind of lingo, it has been in the past tense through this whole passage. It has already been accomplished. Every one of them. Past tense. He has qualified us. He has taken us. He has transferred us. When you heard the gospel, and many times in our Christian life, we live as though we are going the other way. I'm earning this thing. I got to remind you this morning, church, we don't live that way. We're not like a football team like Josiah's team. And those little boys were running. Man, they made them run. And the other night, I was like, whoa, they're running these guys to death. They're falling on the ground. They're going to have to do these long sprints and do 10 push-ups and run back. And all in hopes of what? They're going to win. Hopefully today in the game, they're going to win. God doesn't want us to live our life like that, striving and gaining and doing this so that hopefully someday we win. No, he wants us to live and grow in victory we have already received. There's nothing more, nothing less. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has made us right with him in his sight. Now we're just free to grow in respect to that. Are you with me this morning? I pray that we are, because we're going to get into some heavy stuff here in a little bit. I have to ask the question this morning, have you put on the uniform? Are you on the team? Have you come to believe in Jesus Christ and the gospel message that he is victorious and we stand in his victory and in him alone? If you haven't this morning, I want to tell you, you can do that. Put your faith and trust in Jesus this morning. I'm going to be here today. If you need to talk to somebody, I'll be willing to meet with you too. Are you on the team? Let's grow, team. Every team has pains, you know. I was thinking of the movie, Remember the Titans? You guys know that movie? Oh, man, I love that movie. You want to see me and Josiah's curling on the couch, like doing this as we're watching it? We've seen it a few times, right? But they had to go through some serious adversity, didn't they? But in the end, they became victorious because they stuck together. I want to remind you again this morning, church. We crummy family. But we share the same prize, the hope of heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ, forever. I want to do something for you this morning. I want to pray as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Colossae. I want to pray for you this morning. You think I'm pumped up this week? Wait till next week, people. I'm telling you, we're going to get crazy in here. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we bless you this morning. Thank you. Thank you that you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, that you delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May we joyously always praise you for what you have done. Father, we ask this morning that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we as a church could walk in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you. And Lord, that you would strengthen us with your power according to your glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to you, Father, we praise your name this morning. Amen. Amen. I can do this. Wick, you know what I mean? Whatever. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To our only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Live in victory, church. Let's live in victory together. Amen. Go in peace. Let's go.